step into a world of adventure and join our players in the epilogue of Season 1 of Quest. We are thrilled to have you, but we'd be even more thrilled if you became a patron of our podcast on Patreon. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this is Quest. The rain falls in a steady rhythm, its patter muffled by the canopy of black parasols that hover above the mourners like shadowed wings. The City of the Dead, known for its sprawling beauty, feels different today, somber and subdued. The clouds above churn in restless silence, the occasional rumble of distant thunder rolling over the city. A winding stone path leads to a gravesite. The grave is fresh, the dirt damp and rich, bordered by a modest wooden frame. Beside it stands a polished headstone, rain tracing down its surface like tears. The inscription gleams faintly in the dim light. Talon, a light in darkness, now guiding us from beyond. The gathered mourners form a semicircle beneath the sprawling branches of a massive weeping willow. The only color amid the monochrome gloom is the pale shimmer of flowers left at the base of the headstone. At the forefront, Magic Dan, Cam, and Elle stand motionless, their faces half hidden by shadows of their umbrellas. The weight of the moment hangs heavy on them, their breath visible in the cool, damp air. It is a tradition in Waterdeep to place a token or flowers or a memento on the grave. What are you all wearing and what token have you brought?
Cam is dressed in the most ridiculous black and red suit ever, just little tints of fire coming up from wherever he can make it seem inlaid with the stitching on the clothing. And he'll kind of, between small little sobs and wiping his eyes and his nose, he'll walk up to the tombstone and place a small little carved statue of an Odiug.
Elle is wearing a full one-piece black suit covered in black fringe. He looks like a figure skater. He slowly walks over to the grave and he puts down the purple glove and the purple badge.
Magic Dan is basically wearing a black version of the clothes he commonly wears. Same wizard's hat, just pitch black. Same robes, pitch black. And he simply places one single rose upon the grave.
Standing close together, just behind you, is Renair Neverember, Floon Blagmar, and Volothamp Gedar. Renair, cloaked in black, holds his umbrella low, his sharp features softened by grief as he gazes at the headstone. Beside him, Floon's usual flamboyant demeanor is subdued, his bright red hair damp and clinging to his forehead. He shifts uncomfortably, clutching a bouquet of waterlogged flowers with both hands. Valo stands just a step behind him, his usually ornate feathered hat now drooping pitifully in the rain. Further back, Yagra Stonefist and Davilstar Song stand side by side. Yagra grips her parasol so tightly that her knuckles are white, while Davil stands with quiet dignity, the silver ring on his finger catching the faint light as he turns it absentmindedly. On the periphery, three ragged, vagrant children in ill-fitting black tunics, the Ragamuffins, stand huddled together under a single tattered umbrella. Their wide, tear-filled eyes dart between the headstone and the group of mourners. And further back still is Vajra Safar, the Black Staff. She stands drenched, but unbothered, her parasol discarded at her side. Rain beats along her dark robes and slides down the shimmering length of her staff, which glows faintly in defiance of the gloom. After each of you place your tokens on the gravestone, it is also accustomed to say a few words.
So El kind of looks at the gathered folks that are here. Waterdeep, we gather to honor the memory of one who stood as a beacon of courage and resolve in a world fraught with peril. Talyn was more than a companion. They were a shield in the darkest hours, a blade against the forces of evil, and a heart that burned with an unyielding hope. Their laughter echoed in our halls, their wisdom guided our steps, and their sacrifice will forever light our path. Though their journey has carried them away from us, their story will be sung in the taverns, whispered by bards, and etched into legend. Farewell, Talyn. We will carry your memory, and your name will never fade from our hearts. You were the right brother.
Magic Dan approaches the podium, clears his throat, and wipes away a tear. Talyn is the true definition of a hero. He is the one who rose to the occasion in our darkest hour. He always fought for the little man because he knew what it was like to be one. He stood against the perils of the Xanathar and all the darkest things that haunt the night. He will truly be an inspiration to all of those who come as I look upon the use that he inspired at the Ragamuffins in the orphanage and the other children who still dwell. And as the Xanathar may one day threaten them, they will rise to the occasion by the hero that inspired them to fight. This city has lost a great man, but his legend will live on in the ones that still stand. You children, you are truly our future, and you must go in Talyn's memory and rise up to meet the next challenge of tomorrow.
Cam will kind of like brush some of the rain off of himself and take a moment, bask in the words said by his friends, and approach the podium, also kind of just clear his throat, and he'll say, "Names bear great weight. If you give your name, it belongs to someone. So I'd like to offer something, a deal today, so we may never forget Talyn, because they say, you are forgotten the day your name is spoken last. And I'd like to say, I offer you the name Talyn, so all of you may own it and have it for as long as you shall live."
With your speeches concluded, one by one, each of the mourners placed their token at the base of the headstone. Some saying a few words, others quiet. And when the last token is placed, a gust of wind ripples through the cemetery, rustling the leaves of the willow tree and sending droplets of rain scattered into the air. For a fleeting moment, it feels as though Talyn's presence lingers, a warmth in the cold rain, a light in the heavy darkness. And the camera will pan out slowly on top of you, showing the tops of all of the umbrellas getting pelted with rain. And you can see all of the mourners. And it will turn around, and beyond the cemetery gates, the ruins of the city rise in the misty distance, their jagged silhouettes a reminder of the battle that claimed Talyn's life. The rain continues to fall, steady and unyielding, as the mourners begin to depart. We get a montage. The ruins of Waterdeep slowly give way to bustling activity as the city begins to rebuild itself piece by piece. Workers hammer nails into fresh timber, children carry bricks in tiny hands, and magic users from the Watchful Order levitate beams into place over crumbled rooftops. In the castle ward, shopkeepers sweep away ash as neighbors gather to restore their businesses. A baker lights a newly built oven while priests replace shattered stained glass in temples, the repairs casting shimmering rainbows over the helping hands. Everywhere, the rhythm of hammers and the murmur of quiet determination echo through the streets, a city rising from the ashes with the collective strength of its people. And at the heart of it all, Trollskull Manor undergoes its own transformation. Once a wreck of splintered beams and shattered glass, it now stands proud and strong under the care of friends and neighbors. And I'd like to ask how each of you contribute to the rebuilding of the city as well as Trollskull Manor.
Cam would be going with El and trying to like levy favor from nobles either in or around the area that he may have connections to or know to try and get the funding to rebuild some of the major infrastructure in the city.
Magic Dan is hard at work with Gun Dog to brew new beers and ales for the people. Using him to light kettles, he helps power new breweries and stills to provide the ale and liquor for the town to keep their spirits up.
El,
with his limited magic ability, he's casting mending. He's having Dragon lift things into place. So he's just kind of just moving throughout the city, and anytime he can do something that will help, he's there.
Absolutely. We can see over time the Trollskull Manor being rebuilt. We see Yagra hauling timber beams over her shoulder, little tiefling children scampering across scaffolding, hammering shingles into place. The tap room is lovingly restored. Its walls painted a warm golden hue, and a new bar gleams with a polish. And at last, the sign is raised. What is the name of this place?
Maybe we call it the Wild Mage.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know. I was thinking Talon's Refuge, but that might be better.
Talon Refuge is not bad.
What about Destiny's Child? Nah, I like the Wild Mage.
The sign reads, "The Wild Mage," in elegant filigree. And as candles flicker in the newly cleaned windows, Trollskull Manor becomes a beacon of hope and resilience, a symbol of community and tribute to Talon's legacy, the Wild Mage.
But I say we paint like a really sick-ass mural of Talon, like firing a fireball at a mind flayer. It'd be sick.
The morning of opening day at the Wild Mage begins with an unexpected warmth in the air, despite the lingering chill of early autumn. As Magic Dan, El, and Cam awaken in their rooms upstairs, a rich and unmistakable aroma drifts upwards. Sizzling bacon, warm bread fresh from the oven, and the subtle sweetness of honeyed tea. Someone is making breakfast.
Dan, if you're cooking breakfast naked again, I swear to God.
I learned my lesson with the bacon the last time.
Okay, that's fair. El, is that you? I didn't know you knew how to cook.
I do not know how to cook. Who's...
Someone's in the house.
Oh, come down, come on.
You guys run down the stairs? Okay. Descending the creaking staircase into the tap room, you are greeted by the soft golden glow of sunlight streaming through the freshly cleaned windows. The tap room is immaculate, every surface gleaming and polished. And on the far counter, a steaming pot of tea and a platter of breakfast foods have been laid out, perfectly arranged, as if waiting for honored guests. Yet, there is no sign of any cooks or servers.
Look, I'm not going to turn down a free breakfast. If we got a house that cooks breakfast, that's pretty sweet. And I grab one of the plates and I just start eating.
It's amazing. Oh my God, it's so good. Whoever made this really knows how to cook.
I pour myself a cup of tea.
I'll have some, yes.
From the corner of your eye, you catch it. A faint shimmer behind the bar. It flickers like heat on the horizon, slowly solidifying into the outline of a figure. A ghost.
I think Cam, holding up a cup of tea and puts down his fork with the bacon in it, will like look over towards this spectral image and say, "Liff, is that you?"
You can barely make out his form. He appears to be kind of stocky. He has the faintest hint of a handlebar mustache and an apron tied around his waist. His movements are precise and deliberate as he places clean mugs onto the counter. He never looks directly at you, but he clearly knows that you're there and talking to him. He doesn't speak, and he doesn't make any grand gestures. He just continues his work with quiet dignity, tending to the bar as though it were the most natural thing in the world.
Well, Liff, if you want to be the bartender here, I see no issue with it. If that's something you'd love to do, just, I guess, pour us a drink right now.
You see glasses slide across the bar towards each of you. A bottle lifts up. What would you drink early in the morning? Champagne? What's something that's, like, appropriate? Okay, so just two bottles, same time, an orange juice and a champagne come out and just pour right into all the glasses all at once. You can just barely make out his form before he shimmers away. And when he finally does look up at you, his translucent face bears a faint but unmistakable smile. Proud, grateful, and hopeful all at once. And it becomes very clear to all of you. This ghost has been waiting for this moment. A chance to care for the tavern, to see it alive again, and to be a part of its future. He doesn't speak, but his message is plain. He belongs here.
Well, you guys were right. This place was haunted.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an ass. I'm sorry. I know, stranger things have happened, but it was haunted.
It was pretty funny to blame each other for sexual encounters that didn't occur.
Yes, definitely.
I'm sure Tay's definitely occurred.
Yeah, I mean, he was a handsome fella.
Hey, he's not here to defend himself. Fuck it.
That's why we're doing it.
It is now opening night. The lanterns lining the cobbled streets of Trollskull Alley flicker to life as the sun dips down below the horizon. The Wild Mage stands proud and inviting, its freshly painted facade glowing softly in the lamplight. Inside, the taproom is alive with energy, the hum of conversation mingling with the faint sounds of the barred three strings from a corner near the fireplace. The freshly polished bar gleams under the warm light of the hanging lanterns and rows of bottles and glasses perfectly arranged by unseen hands. Tables are packed with patrons, friends, allies, and curious neighbors who've come to celebrate the reopening of the tavern. Magic Dan, Cam, and Elle are at the center of it all, mingling with guests, receiving congratulations, and soaking in the overwhelming sense of accomplishment that fills the room. You will see Renair leans casually against the bar. He's deep in conversation with Floon. Floon holds a mug of ale, already halfway into a lively retelling of one of your adventures, to some unfamiliar patrons. Renair watches him with a fond smile, occasionally stepping in to gently correct some of Floon's more imaginative embellishments. Volothamp is perched at a table nearby Renair. He's holding a mug in one hand and gesturing animatedly with the other as he describes his latest book project to a small captive audience. Yagra Stonefist is hard to miss. She stands near the hearth with her arms crossed. Occasionally, she lets out a booming laugh at a particularly good joke or story. She raises her mug in a silent toast when her gaze meets that of Magic Dan, and she gives him a particularly suggestive wink. There are the Ragamuffins, the trio of scrappy children that dart between the tables. They appear to have made themselves servers. Nobody asked them to do this. They just have taken it upon themselves to serve everyone drinks. Elafir is here as well in his crimson and gold uniform. He leans against the bar and flirtatiously chats up a blonde half-elf woman. There is also Daisy May, who is the elven herbalist of Curlon's Crown across the street. Embrick and Avi, the fire and water genasi couple that are bickering back and forth very intensely. And also, in the corner of the room, there is a setup of like a makeshift display of trinkets on a table, and there is this wiry-ass kobold, and it's Percival Storefront from Storefront, who has set himself up a little place to sell stuff inside of your tavern. No one told him he could do this, by the way. He just has taken it upon himself. The last guest is sitting near the edge of the room, and is a noble woman. She sits alone at a small table. Her dark hair frames her face. She wears an elegant, high-necked black dress, and her gloved hands rest lightly on the half-empty glass of red wine. Elle and Renair, you both would recognize this person. This is Ezevel Rosnar. You used to relentlessly tease her when you were little kids. You all three grew up together. But she doesn't speak to anyone. In fact, she's actively avoiding people. But her presence feels deliberate. And all of you will notice that occasionally she gives a look to each of you. And if you return the gaze, she looks away quickly.
Dan?
Yeah, what's going on?
I can't tell if that woman is checking me out, you out, or Elle out, but we should find out what's going on before Yagra beats someone to death in this bar.
Oh, look, I mean, Yagra, she's a sweetheart, and she knows that I ain't straying away from her.
Yes, but jealousy is a fickle thing, especially when, you know, imbibing in spirits.
And we don't need her beating up one of our patrons.
Especially on opening night.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad, because I've seen her literally, like, pick a guy up, like, over her head and hook him right through a window. Sick. Not so hard.
Yes, we should...
God damn it.
Yes, well, that must be a sight, but, we just put these windows in. Yes, these are nice windows. They came from Neverwinter.
Fair. All right, well, you go over and talk to her. I mean, what?
Does anyone know who she is?
No. Anybody?
I do. She was a childhood friend that me and Renair used to pick on relentlessly.
Did someone say my name?
Ah!
Renair says.
Where did you come from?
I was standing right... You're right in front of me.
It's a lot going on tonight. There's so many people. I am so sorry, Renair.
Yeah, I kind of lost focus.
It's okay. Her name is Ezevel. Yeah, Ezevel Rosnar. But actually, she used to go by Ezzy when you guys were kids.
Renair... Why is Ezzy here?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty weird, too. I honestly can't believe it. Her family is so reclusive, it's practically an art form. No one invited her, right?
Well, I mean, it's more of an open invitation for this place. We didn't send out invites. It's just more of the town came.
It's just strange. She hardly ever steps out of that estate of hers. Elle, do you remember the Banks family wedding when we were kids?
I do.
Ezzy here. She spilled some water on her dress. And Elle, you teased her mercilessly for peeing her pants. I'm surprised she didn't run the other way when she saw you tonight.
I thought it was hilarious when I called her Ezzy Piss Pants.
Oh, Ezzy Piss Pants. I remember. Oh, the Elle, that was so mean, man.
I hope she's not here for revenge.
We can cut that out real quick. And Cam is going to grab a glass off the bar and throw it on Elle's pants and say, Ezzy, would you look? Elle peed his pants.
Yeah, it's old LEP pants over here.
You'll see Ezevel Rosnar. You catch her attention when you say Ezzy. And she looks over and immediately starts snickering and covering her mouth like she can't laugh. It's unladylike to laugh really loudly.
Meanwhile, Yagra.
Yagra picks a man up and body slams him through the table.
Hysterically laughing the whole time.
I guess I'm going to have to go talk to her with my pee pants. Thank you for that, Cam.
You are so very welcome. It broke the ice.
Oh, yeah. It's great, man. It's a good opportunity. Go over there. I know what this is about.
Do you?
Yeah, man. You're a big hero. She probably harbored a crush for you the whole time when you were a kid. I bet you picked on her because you liked her.
Yeah, you definitely picked on her because you liked her.
Yeah, I bet you did, you big old dork.
If you don't go over there, I will. And you don't want me talking on your behalf.
Yeah, I bet she's a really great dance partner.
So as you approach her, she is trying so hard not to laugh at you. But when you get close enough, she pulls herself together and she says, Well, Eltior, it's been a long time. I need you to make a history check or a perception check.
We're going to go history. 26.
Her voice is incredibly familiar. You can't quite place it, but something about the way that she speaks is just so familiar. It's been a long time.
It has.
This is the point where I make fun of you and your Ellie pee-pee pants, was that?
As a hero of Waterdeep, it is customary to pee one's pants, and I don't know if you knew that.
That is news to me.
Cam is dying in the corner with Magic Dan right now.
There really is only four heroes of Waterdeep, so I would understand why you don't know that.
Ah, I see. Well, it's no surprise to me then that you've built this place up.
I think we might have gotten off on the wrong foot. It's really nice to see you.
It's nice to see you as well.
To what do we owe the pleasure of you visiting the Wild Mage?
I've heard you built a community here. It's admirable. Let's just say I've developed an interest in seeing people like you succeed, regardless of what happened when we were children. I know you're a good person.
I'm sorry about all that. I guess I'll just be honest with you. I always kind of had a little crush on you growing up.
Stop. It's fine. No need to apologize. I was only teasing myself. You're a hero of Waterdeep now. Standing against monsters like the Xanathar takes more than bravery. It takes friends, even if you don't always know they're there.
Can I buy you a drink?
I must be going. She stands up. Enjoy your evening, Elteor. You've earned it. And don't worry, I won't spill anything on my dress this time.
It was good seeing you.
Farewell. She immediately leaves, without saying another word.
What the hell, man? We should have struck up a band so
we really
could dance.
Should have. I would have gotten the harmonica out, honestly.
Oh, man, we totally missed opportunities.
She had a thing for Cam.
Hold on!
Hey, you know what's surprising? If you do go outside, she's fucking gone. Like a shadow in the night just disappeared.
You were like reclusive and you recognized her voice, and I was like, yeah, okay. All right.
She is the Black Viper.
While we're sitting at Dan, well, now that that's over, I heard you had a new invention you were working on?
Oh, yes. I call it the Powered Fist. It just punches through shit. I still don't know its purpose, but I just want to, like, fist some stuff with it. Just bam, fist. Like, use it to maybe break down walls or maybe another weapon for the guards. You just give them the fist. You can fist anybody in this town with this thing.
This isn't going to end up like the vibrating stone you had that's going to be used for other purposes.
Oh, man, that thing was really handy. No, I don't know what you could really do with these. I think it's more punching rocks and stuff.
Drop the patent on you know, to me, and I'll get it going
for
you.
Yeah, fisters. That's what I'll call them.
Dan, no. Okay. Dan, we'll workshop.
We'll workshop the name, okay? But fisters was just the first thing that came to my mind.
Call them punchers, then, because you're punching stuff, not fisters.
Well, you can use the fingers in them, too, for stuff, you know?
Hold on. Yagra, can you come over here for a second?
Yagra approaches, her meaty hands resting on Dan's shoulders.
Yagra, you know he's been working on something recently, right?
Yeah.
He wants to call them fisters.
I know, what a great name.
Thank you, Yagra. You know, you're always supporting my ideas.
Fisters it is. Okay, fine. If no one else is gonna...
Yeah, give those minds a fist. Punch your way right through those holes.
I love it.
Well, how have things been going with you two?
Oh, things have been going quite well. I mean, luckily when we rebuilt the place, I soundproofed my room so you don't know how well it's going.
I was wondering why the noises stopped.
She elbows you really hard, like it hurts.
Oh, sorry. Anyway.
If anything, Yagra, you're taking him to bed, not him taking you to bed. So I don't think that's...
Let our love life be our love life. And she cracks her knuckles.
You know me, Yagra, ever the gossip.
Oh, sweetie, don't worry about it. And I give her a little peck on the cheek real quick.
She blushes.
Oh, anyway. Let's get another drink, shall we, Yagra? Let's drink until we can't feel feelings.
While this is going on, Renair will approach Elle. How'd it go?
Not great, but not terrible.
To be expected, I guess.
Yeah, it was nice seeing her.
By the way, how's it been going? You know, training the... What do you call them? Ragam?
The Ragamuffins?
Yeah, how's it been going training them? What's the plan? To turn them into proper adventurers, or just don't trip while you're serving drinks kind of thing?
You know, no one asked them to do that. You know, they're doing an all right job. But I think the goal is to have the orphans have something. So why not an adventurer's guild?
They sure seem eager to learn. And we look over and there's Nat, Squiddly, and Jinx tripping over each other, spilling drinks all over the place. you can see invisible rags and mops following behind them. You've got a real knack for inspiring people, whether you realize it or not.
I was just here to help everybody.
Oh, but come on. That apprenticeship with the Blackstaff? That's no small thing. Luck won't be enough, but for what it's worth, I wish you plenty of it anyways.
Yeah, I think it's time to put the suit away and try some robes. How do you think fringe would look like on some robes?
Knowing you, I'm sure you could pull it off.
So what's the plan for you?
Oh, just the usual, drinking and partying.
I know I have a lot of work to do. I'm sure I still will find time to meet you on that dance floor.
It's almost in tandem with what your conversation is going on. You will hear three strings in the background begin to play your tune, El. It is your song, El.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Hold that thought.
No, I'm coming. And you guys go out to the dance floor, making room for yourselves.
As this is going on, I'd be talking to Valo.
You approach Valo.
I will tell you, the Mind of Flayer, it was a 16-foot tall.
Valo, no. No.
What do you want? You're interrupting my story.
I'm here to, you know, work with you about your book rights.
Will all of you excuse me?
Yes, you know, I want to get something in writing so that we all can get paid and Tay's portion would go to, you know, Destiny's Gate. But, you know, I want to venture to you. You read a lot of books. You're well-traveled men. I'm sure you're going to need someone to represent you when you're trying to get these publishing deals.
Of course. We're friends now.
Yeah, I just want to look out for you and make sure you're getting the better end of the deal and maybe 5% off myself for the top.
You will hear the door open to the tavern, and a small, nervous-looking gnome steps inside. His business suit is lightly wrinkled from what must have been a very long day. And you will see Finnick Tallyfoot. Cam, this is your new law clerk and is your partner in navigating Waterdeep's intricate legal system. He clutches a leather briefcase tight under one arm and adjusts his thick-rimmed glasses that immediately fog up when he enters inside. He begins weaving his way through the crowd, around El dancing, around Magic Dan and Yagra making out, and makes his way over towards you.
Ah, Mr. Leone, there you are. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to find you with all the festivities.
I'd always be here. Can you see right now?
No, sir. And he will take off his glasses and undo them.
We're closed for the day.
Yes, sir.
He will slide over Valo's shit on the table and put his own suitcase on the table and flip it open. And he will begin setting out a quill, an inkwell, some papers that are not so neatly organized.
I know this isn't the ideal setting, but with the timeline we discussed, I thought it'd be best to finalize everything tonight. If you could just review these sections and sign here, 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 and here. I've taken the liberty of including the formal amendments to Section 3, Subparagraph 4, regarding the trust.
Yes, and did you get... Section 8, subsection 9, paragraph C as well. I know we had talked about that.
Yeah, for the charitable effort. Yeah.
The Talon charity for your Destiny's Gate, yes.
Yes, for Destiny's Gate, yes. We've actually confirmed the new protections for the property, Destiny's Gate, that is, ensuring its continued operation under the new legal framework, like we discussed.
Oh, awesome, perfect. We get the tax-exempt status and everything we needed, and...
Yes, sir.
Oh, perfect. I will sign these papers as soon as you go and grab yourself a drink and sit down for 5 minutes, please.
There's a couple more things, sir. If you don't mind, Mr. Leone, I'd really like to...
Yeah, okay, yes, yes, what else?
I spoke with the magistrate today.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir. Your legal practice, sir?
Yes.
It has been officially registered.
Well, champagne for everyone!
Yes, quite the milestone, Mr. Leone.
It's the best!
Yes, drinks for everyone. You need to relax. I will sign these post-haste. Why don't you go... Dan has a new project he's talking of. I'm sure he'd want to hear some legalese on it.
Oh, Magic Dan.
Yes.
My favorite of your associates.
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah.
Anyways, that's Finnick. He goes over to Magic Dan.
Mr. Leone told me to speak with you.
Oh, yes. How you doing there, small fry?
Oh, you're so loud. Yes, sir. Fine, sir.
Nice to see you. You had a drink yet?
No, sir. I don't drink.
Oh.
Well, get a water or something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't want you to have a dry throat in this place. That's the whole point.
Yes, sir. Right away. And he will wander off and then never come back to Magic Den.
Well, I don't care where that feller went. Come here, Yagger.
I'm going to walk over to Dan after I sign all this paperwork and hand it to my new clerk and be like, all right, we'll come by the office tomorrow. Yeah, we're official now.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. No, it's incredible, yeah.
Are you using your regular form or are you just using like another form? Are you doing the Leo Law thing?
I'm doing my regular form. Leo Law might be for when I get into more criminal practice, but we're going to hold off on that for now.
Wow, man, that's such a sick name for a lawyer.
I know, right? But it seems kind of phony, so I'm waiting until everyone knows, you know, who I am before establishing that one. I kind of found who I am now.
Ah, high five.
There's plenty of drinking and merriment made in commemoration to Talon and the opening of the Wild Mage. And slowly, over the hours, people begin to trickle out until it's just the three of you, and we fade out on that. As we fade back in, we see a modest but well-organized office, freshly furnished. And we see Cam sitting behind his desk, his sleeves rolled up, eyes scanning the dense legal jargon of a document spread before him. The door creaks open, and we see Finnick, again, Finnick Tallyfoot, and his ever-present briefcase clutched tightly under his arm.
Mr. Leone, pardon the interruption, it's time. A momentous occasion, your first case in your new practice, sir. I've reviewed the docket. The magistrate will convene shortly. It's imperative we leave if we're going to arrive on time. I must inform you, Mr. Leone, that your associates, Mr. Farmelin and Mr. Magic Dan, are downstairs, insisting on escorting you to court. I advise them that this is hardly the time for distractions, but naturally they ignored me entirely.
Finnick, it's important that Dan's here today. He is, you know, pursuant.
Of course.
When's the last time you ate, Finnick?
Mr. Leone, I don't eat until the cases are all closed.
Then you haven't eaten in, what, 2 days now? Go get some food.
Okay. He begins nervously cleaning his glasses. Are you sure about that, Mr. Leone?
100%, yeah. You did all you could. There's nothing you can do anymore. And I'll start descending the steps, see Dan, and look at him and say, well, are you ready to do this, Dan?
That's right. I got the schematic of the original foot right here. And I kind of unfold it out and point. It's like, that's where they added the extra toe.
Well, perfect. I mean, this is, I had a copy of this, but if this is the original, this is perfect.
Oh, yeah. Signed and dated by the Temple of Gond.
Oh, well, flawless. An L. Pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, I wouldn't have missed your first case.
I'm nervous. I got to tell you guys. I'd rather be taking on Xanathar again than doing this. Honestly, I'm really nervous.
Do you need me to appear behind the judge and take him out?
I'm not ruling it out. If anything, it'll be the Bitsy family, right?
Oh, yes. Here, have a shot of Goblin Courage. And I hand him like a flask that I pull out of my coat that I've been drinking off of.
No, I'll take a sip and hand it back to him. Okay, we got this. Let's do this, Dan.
That's right. And I take an even bigger swig and like tuck it back into my coat. To the law!
You all stand at the base of the courthouse steps. The towering columns above casting long shadows in the crisp morning light. Next to you are your friends. Magic Dan, L, and Cam. The weight of the moment settles on your shoulders as you look up at the courthouse.
I had a feeling our adventurers would end up with us at the courthouse. I just never figured like this. I'm proud to have you guys all here today. Let's make history.
And we fade to black. Goodbye, Cam. We fade in on Magic Dan. The ceremony takes place in the sprawling gardens of a noble estate that Magic Dan somehow borrowed for this occasion. Flowers, many of which Yagra loudly declared unnecessary, line the path, their delicate arrangement contrasting sharply with the row of burly, green-skinned half-orcs seated in the front row. Yagra's family looms like a wall of muscle and tusks, their fur-lined cloaks and massive ceremonial weapons looking entirely out of place amidst the frilly decor. So as you guys are standing there, Magic Dan nervously shuffling his feet, you know, waiting for the procession, you will hear from the front row, Yagra's father, who is an absolute mountain of a half-orc. He will mutter loudly over to his wife.
He's scrawny. She could snap him in half.
Suddenly, the music begins to play, and Yagra begins her walk down the aisle. As everyone stands, she strides down the aisle with the confidence of someone who has broken bones for fun. Her dress is simple but elegant, with just enough leather and steel embellishments to stay true to her personality. Her sisters, equally tall, broad, and armed, walk behind her, glaring daggers at anyone who dares to whisper during the processional.
People of Waterdeep, we've gathered you here today to witness the beautiful matrimony between Dandelion and Yagra Stonefist.
Suddenly there is a screech of a pew being knocked over as there is this huge half-orc dude that begins making his way down the aisle, and all of the half-orcs are like, somebody grab Grunk, he's trying to challenge the group! And they have to tackle this half-orc guy and drag him back down the aisle. One of the half-orcs is like, continue, carry on, sorry about that.
I didn't even get to, does anyone object yet? Okay,
Don't worry. Look off to the side there. There's just a few gun dogs just kind of patrolling around.
Well, I guess without any further ado, Cam is sweating, clearly intimidated. Magic Dan, would you like to say your vows?
Yes, I would. Yagra, I've admired you from afar as I've watched you pummel people of much larger size than myself. I've seen you down the biggest of tankards in the hardest of ales. All the while stealing my heart. And now I hope, as I now have gained this large city municipal contract to produce gun dogs for the entire city, that I will give you the life that you wish. If that is one of comfort or one of pummeling various people around town, I'll always be at your side to hold your hand and tell you you're beautiful while you do it. I love you, Yagra Stonefist. And also, I think I'm going to be taking your last name because I hate my own. And I don't want you to have to be Yagra Delion.
She smiles, and she begins her vows.
Dan, you're annoying. You're flashy. And probably the most impractical magic man I've ever met. But somehow, you've made yourself indispensable. You've got guts. You stand your ground, even when it's stupid to do so. And you've never backed down from me, no matter how much I tried to scare you off. I'm not big on promises, but here's one. I will fight with you, for you, and beside you. And if anyone gives you trouble, they'll answer to me.
And she glances back at the guy, Gronk, who is still grabbing onto the floor, trying to drag himself towards the aisle. And people are like, no, don't worry, buddy. Everything's fine.
And she'll say, including all of them. So I'll keep you alive, keep you humble, and keep you mine. You'd better not make me regret it.
I won't.
The rings, Meowsalini.
Thank you, my little prince.
Boop. I would like to now pronounce you man and wife. And I think it's better to say you may now kiss the groom.
Yagra will pull Dan into a deep dip and kiss him. Is there anything you would like to do?
Just give like a thumbs up real hard.
And we fade to black on that. Goodbye, Magic Dan, the practical magic man. We fade back in. Morning light filters through the tall windows of Elteor's modest room, casting soft beams across the wooden floor. At the foot of his bed sits a worn trunk. El kneels, his fingers lingering on the clasp before opening it.
As he lifts open the lid of the trunk, you see the rogue's mantle, the rapier that he's used this entire time, and he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a bag of teeth, and he places it in. Goodbye, Cam. He reaches into another pocket, and this little circular stone that continues to vibrate, he sets that down next to the bag of teeth. Goodbye, Magic Dan. And then finally, from around his neck, he unclasps a purple dragon tooth necklace and he places it in gently. Goodbye, Tay.
You fold them all carefully and tuck them beneath a cloth as though sealing away that chapter of your life. And turning to the bed, your eyes fall on the apprentice robes of the Blackstaff, their deep blue fabric edged with glowing silver runes. They feel heavier than the leather as you lift them, not in weight, but in significance. Draping the robes over your shoulders, you fasten the clasp, and the runes briefly flare to life, acknowledging their new bearer. And in a small mirror across the room, you see not a dark, armored rogue who moved through life unseen and unattached, but you see a man starting to grasp something larger, a desire to build, protect, serve others. You close the trunk, resolve setting over you.
It's time for a new song.
You step forward, ready to meet a life of discipline, magic, and service head on. And we fade to black. Thank you so much for tuning in to the final episode of Season 1 of Quest. We are incredibly grateful for all your support and for joining us on these wild adventures. If you are enjoying the show and you want to help us keep the adventure going, consider becoming a patron on our Patreon. As a patron, you'll get access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes extras. We appreciate all of you and can't wait to see you next time. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this has been Quest. Elturel has fallen. The once holy city hangs by a thread, chained above the fiery wastelands of Avernus, the first layer of the Nine Hells. Demons and devils clash in an endless war, and the people of Elturel are caught in the chaos, their salvation slipping further away with each passing moment. Join The Descent, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons YouTube series, following a company of Flaming Fist adventurers as they uncover the truth behind Elturel's fall and descend into the Nine Hells. With gripping storytelling, high-stakes combat, and an immersive world, The Descent brings you the full D&D experience. The gates are open. The Descent has begun. Watch it now on Dungeon Lord J's YouTube channel. Just search Dungeon Lord J on YouTube. Are you ready to descend?